What is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen? It's already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it will pass the drug trade. Because someone can sell a bag of cocaine one time, but they can sell a child 5 to 10 times per day. On July 4th, witness the gripping reality of true heroism in the film Sound of Freedom. From Angel Studios, the force behind His Only Son and The Chosen, comes an extraordinary true story of courage and redemption. Experience the spirit of hope and the power of human resilience. The goal is for 2 million people to get into theaters the week of July 4th and remember the 2 million children who are trafficked every year. Visit angel.com/freedom. That's angel.com/freedom. Buying tickets in advance sends an important message. To show your support, purchase tickets for yourself or pay it forward so they can pack theaters the week of July 4th. Visit angel.com/freedom.
Yes, it is Friday edition of the Dana Show, and it's me, Rich Zeoli, back with you for another afternoon as more details come out about the whistleblower, and there's pictures. Yes, of course, I'm talking about Hunter Biden. The big story that this guy came forward and said, you know what? We have this text message, this WhatsApp chat between Hunter and his Chinese buddies, and we have photographic evidence to prove that he was at the big guy's house in Wilmington, the big guy, of course, being Joe Biden. So this is a huge deal. And of course, you're not going to hear anything about it in the corporate media. They're going to keep protecting Joe Biden until the time that they don't, whenever they're given their orders, and then they can move on from Joe Biden. But at least for the time being, Joe Biden is being protected as nobody's covering the story except for us, Fox News, Newsmax, a couple other entities, and that's about it. So listen, if you doubted anything regarding the government giving soft glove treatment to Hunter Biden, this should set your mind at ease that they absolutely gave him a sweetheart deal. And what's worse about that is the evidence is all right there in front of them. It's all right there. And this IRS agent who came forward and told Congress about all of this involving his father's business, it actually did make the New York Times. So the only thing I could think of is perhaps maybe this is the beginning of the end of Joe Biden's campaign. The beginning of the end. They have to wait as long as possible till they take him out of the race. Let's face it. Whoever the Democrats are going to be, have to wait as long as humanly possible until they take that person out of the race, till they take Joe out and put that person in. Because otherwise you get baggage and everything else. So they want to try to wait, I think. Unless they're just going to say, the heck with it, let's make it a free-for-all. The only thing we can do. It'd just be a free-for-all, and Kamala can run, and Gavin Newsom can run. And although I'm sure they're begging Michelle Obama at this point, begging on their knees. Please, Michelle, we need you. Please, we need you to run. We have to have you. I don't know if she will. I mean, she keeps telling everybody she hates it. She hates being in office. She hated being in the White House. Doesn't want to ever be in the White House. But, I mean, how Joe Biden survives this, I have no idea. Other than, of course, the usual cover-up of things. But he's an unpopular president to begin with. The economy stinks. It's not like he's a strong president and they can just bury this. It's all these factors coming out. And the thing about it is, if you remember yesterday's show, I said to you, all the work that was done, all the energy that was expelled to make everybody believe that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian misinformation, disinformation, you remember that? 51 former national security officials all come out to say this as the earmarks of being Russian disinformation. The FBI knew the story was coming because they were spying on Rudy Giuliani. So the FBI, when Rudy Giuliani was talking to Miranda Devine, knew the story was coming and then set the stage for big tech to call it Russian disinformation, to censor the story, for the corporate media to do their thing and censor the story. And it wasn't about protecting Hunter Biden with pictures of him naked with Russian hookers. It was to protect Joe Biden. That's right, President Joe Biden. Because on the laptop, photographic evidence that Hunter Biden was at Joe Biden's house when he was sending the messages to his Chinese business partners saying the big guy's right here and he's not going to be happy with you. So let's dig into this, shall we? President Joe Biden has consistently denied ever speaking with his son, Hunter Biden, of course, about these foreign business dealings. But new transcripts released by the House Ways and Means Committee from an interview with IRS whistleblower Gary Shapley absolutely show Hunter Biden berating a Chinese foreigner and invoking the wrath of his father. Here's a little bit from House Ways and Means Chair Jason Smith detailing the numerous felony charges that whistleblowers say the IRS recommended against Hunter Biden Cut 8.
Not one, but two IRS employees are blowing the whistle with evidence that the federal government is not treating taxpayers equally when enforcing tax laws. The whistleblowers were working on an investigation into Hunter Biden that opened in November of 2018 as an offshoot of a separate corporate investigation by the IRS. Let me emphasize, this was an investigation in the ordinary course of work at the IRS. It was not ordered by any individual, any chairman, or any political entity. The testimony we released today shows the IRS recommended charges against Hunter Biden that included attempt to evade or defeat tax, a felony, fraud or false statements, a felony, and willful failure to file returns, supply information, or pay tax.
Amazing stuff. It really is. Amazing stuff. And now the evidence comes out. We obtained a July 30th, 2017 WhatsApp message from Hunter Biden to Henry Zhao, where Hunter Biden wrote, "I am sitting here with my father, and we would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled. Tell the director that I would like to resolve this now before it gets out of hand, and now means tonight. And Z, if I get a call or text from anyone involved in this other than you, Zhang or the chairman, I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge that you will regret not following my direction. I am sitting here waiting for the call with my father." Now, this is what the chairman said. The whistleblower said, "Communications like these made it clear we needed to search the guest house at the Biden's Delaware residence where Hunter Biden stayed for a time. The Biden's Delaware home is also where Joe Biden kept classified documents in the garage right next to his prized Corvette. Of course, Hunter Biden had regular access to that information and spent a significant amount of time at that home during the COVID-19 pandemic, where he also brought several guests to the home, including paid female escorts." Although he might have stiffed them. That's always possible. The guy's so cheap. Maybe never paid him, but I hope he did. The latest transcript comes after emails on Hunter Biden's laptop revealed he asked for additional office keys to be made for his business partners, which included his father, not to mention the dozens of meetings that took place. Joe Biden has lied for years about this. Lied for years about this story. And now we know there's photographic evidence proving that Hunter Biden was at the house in Wilmington when he made those text messages. This is a huge scandal. This is huge. This is massive. Everybody in America should be talking about this right now. Every single person in America. You know, they charged Trump with having classified documents and people having access to it. Joe Biden had classified documents there. Hunter Biden and his pals all had access to it. So why is Joe Biden not charged under the Espionage Act? And why? Tell me why. Explain that to me. I'd love to know. I'd love to know why Joe Biden was not charged under the Espionage Act and Donald Trump was. Considering the fact that anybody could have had access to those classified documents. He made a snarky comment, if you remember. "Oh, it's in the garage where I lock up my vet." So that makes it safe? Why, people don't break into garages? And then we know that from pictures that Hunter Biden was in that vet. He used that vet all the time. He would drive it on his little joyrides all the time. So explain to me how this is okay. Explain this to me. Photos place Hunter Biden at Joe Biden's home on the day he invoked his dad to threaten the Chinese business partner. Story over at the Free Beacon. "I am sitting here waiting for the call with my father," Hunter stated before issuing the threat. And now photographs on the abandoned laptop place him at his father's Wilmington, Delaware residence on the day he invoked President Joe Biden's name in a text message, threatening his Chinese business partner to come down on him with their full weight if the business partner did not fulfill his commitment. So when I tell you that covering up the laptop was never about embarrassing nudes of Hunter Biden, they're disgusting. But that's not why everybody rallied around to say it was Russian disinformation. It's because on that laptop is the evidence that proves Joe Biden is crooked. It proves Joe Biden's the big guy. And it proves that Joe Biden's taking money from China, Ukraine, and Romania, at least, that we know of. It's all there. That's why they all scrambled. Think back, October 2020. They all scrambled so quickly together to censor the story. You couldn't share it. It was called hacking. Remember, Twitter put a hacking thing on it so you couldn't share it. Facebook took it down. The New York Post was the only entity out there besides other conservative entities. And then the link to the New York Post story would not work. They wouldn't let you see the article. They wouldn't let you share the article. The letter comes out. Politico writes a big story about it. 51 former national intelligence officials say the Hunter Biden laptop is Russian disinformation. It was an overdrive effort to convince America this laptop was not real, that this was Russia. This was a game Russia was playing. And it was never about protecting his crackhead son. Why? I mean, you could use that as sympathy. Oh, my son's turned his life around. If it was just naked pictures of him with Russian hookers, oh, my son's turned his life around. Ah, it's a shame, you know, but look at how far he's come. They'd use that to their advantage, please. They covered that laptop up because the evidence is there on the laptop that Joe Biden's the big guy. And this guy Shapley, who's come out and said that they had all this, four photographs on the hard drive of Hunter Biden's laptop show him posing behind the wheel of Joe Biden's 1967 Corvette Stingray at 6:49 p.m. on July 30th, 2017. GPS metadata embedded in the photo shows that they were taken in close proximity to Joe Biden's Wilmington, Delaware home. So if Joe Biden was sitting next to his son as he sent in the message, it would be a fatal blow to the president's repeated claims that he never discussed overseas business deals with his son. And the photographs of Hunter Biden at what appears to be a family gathering at the Delaware home is the strongest indication that he was in close proximity to his father when he threatened the Chinese businessman. That's in the WhatsApp message. Tell the director I would like to resolve this now before it gets out of hand, and now means tonight, Z. I am sitting here waiting for the call with my father. I sure hope whatever it is you are doing is very, very important, Hunter Biden said in a subsequent message, adding that it was 9:45 a.m. when he sent the message. The same day, Hunter Biden invoked me and my family in an email to CEFC Director Gong Wan Dong, confirming that they had agreed to a $10 million contract for introductions alone, with bonus payments for any successful business deals the Biden family introduces. There was a note that Hunter Biden wrote to Zhao saying, "My family sends their best wishes and looks forward to playing some golf when the director has time." And then he wrote back, "Best regards to you, Jim and VP," an apparent reference to Joe Biden and his brother Jim Biden. I mean, who else could be VP? The relationship proved lucrative for the Biden family. CEFC Energy paid Hunter Biden at least $5 million in the ensuing months to scout out potential investments to the Chinese firm. The company paid Biden another $1 million to provide legal services for CEFC Energy executive Patrick Ho, who faced charges that he tried to bribe African officials for oil rights. There's so much more to this story. It's breaking all over the place. It's Friday afternoon edition of The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. We're coming right back.
Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188. 888-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Is America not number one anymore? Sometimes it takes admitting we have a problem to be able to fix it. Between parental rights over their children or the government paying big tech for your private info, how can we right our wrongs to go back to being the shiny city on the hill? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
So obviously this story about Hunter Biden is just everywhere, in conservative circles, of course, and a couple of corporate media sites as well. So we'll be looking into this all day today. By the way, Interstate 95 in Philadelphia is officially reopened. The governor, Josh Shapiro, is out there cutting the proverbial ribbon, and there are three lanes of traffic in either direction. It's a 45 mile an hour speed limit restriction for the time being, and this is the temporary fix. It's not the permanent one, but nevertheless, it is open for business right now. The question, of course, of the media covering this, not covering this, and what that means, I'll give you my analysis on that as the show continues here on The Dana Show. But I got five things to share with you. Let's do it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg have agreed they are going to hold a cage fight. Yes, apparently. Dana White, who is the head of UFC, says they're going to do it for charity. And Mark Zuckerberg is a black belt in jiu-jitsu. And Elon Musk is pretty much a good fighter as well. So apparently it's going to be a UFC bout in Las Vegas, Nevada. And they're going to raise a ton of cash for the charities of their choice. Zuckerberg said he's already been training in mixed martial arts and has recently won jiu-jitsu tournaments. So this is going to happen. Elon Musk versus Mark Zuckerberg, with probably Joe Rogan doing color commentary. It's going to be a blast. I think Vegas is going to be very busy that weekend, would be my prediction. New scrutiny for aspartame, one of the world's most common sweeteners. Aspartame, which has been in diet soda for decades, is coming under new scrutiny amid fresh research linking the popular sugar substitute to a possible increased cancer risk. The U.S. FDA has reviewed the science of aspartame safety five times since greenlighting it for consumption in 1981. More than 90 countries have approved it. But the World Health Organization recently called two meetings to reevaluate its safety and has signaled that it may issue new warnings about the food additive later this summer. I use stevia. I don't like aspartame. It has a chemical taste and aftertaste, but I do like stevia, which is natural. It's a plant, and I find drinks sweetened with that taste fantastic. Little pro tip for you. Let's see here. We got this story from The Express. Kim Jong-un is facing a revolt as North Koreans call for the United States to attack their country. That's right. Though quietly and behind closed doors, North Koreans are turning against their supreme leader, Kim Jong-un, in what could be seen as the country crumbles. It is the Hermit Kingdom, you know. Nobody ever goes there. Kim Jong-un, the 39-year-old supreme leader, controls every minute detail of his people, from their being able to travel to wear leather coats to their food supplies and choice of haircut. But there is a little rebellion brewing in North Korea. Let's go back in time a little bit, shall we? To ancient Egypt. Why not? Turns out that ancient Egyptian cults got high in psychedelics and drank bodily fluid cocktails. Ooh, that's quite a happy hour, huh? Researchers have discovered that a 2,500-year-old ancient Egyptian cult used to get high on psychedelics, you know, like mushrooms and things like that, drink fermented fruit juice, and sip on, I'll just read this, vaginal fluid and blood. Yeah, sorry, it's in the article. What am I going to do? 2,500 years ago, the ancient Egyptians were the first ones to get all over the psychedelics. And that's why people love things like ayahuasca. Aaron Rodgers says psychedelics helped his NFL career. He's all in on them. I told you yesterday he spoke at that convention on psychedelics. He says, without them, I could not have been the football great that I am. He says many athletes take hallucinogens. And he, of course, joined the Jets from the Packers this offseason. We got a lot more to come here on The Dana Show, Friday edition, with me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. How is the media covering or not covering Hunter Biden? And what does that say about the story and Joe Biden's political future? Straight ahead.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Mr. Mayor, they said it couldn't be done, you know.
Well, they say a lot of things.
When I stood here 12 days ago, I must say there was a pessimism in the air. One that I believe has lingered in this city and in this Commonwealth for far too long. And today, all of us here together prove them wrong. I think it's also important to note that today, my wife, our First Lady, who's joining us, will finally not have to listen to me talking about I-95 every day.
That, of course, is the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, launching his presidential career. As he got 95 reopened in a matter of 12 days. It's very impressive. I mean, the people that worked on this project, the construction workers round the clock, they're amazing. Absolutely amazing. And look, Shapiro is going to take the victory lap. And at some point he's going to run for president. I don't know if it'll be this time around or in the future, but he's on the list. No doubt about it. The Democrat Party loves this guy. So they look at him as a future. I don't know if he's woke and nuts enough for them, nationally speaking, but you know, well, we shall see. But either way, as a commuter, we're thrilled that the road is open, three lanes in each direction, south, north. Perhaps if you're coming up the weekend, you'll have a little bit of a more peaceful commute. I would still, you know, just remember it's only 45 miles an hour, so traffic still might get a little backed up there. But hey, it's open. We're happy. That's good. All right. So is the media covering the Hunter Biden story? That is the question. Is the media covering the Hunter Biden story? And if they are, what does that mean for Joe Biden? As I talk about Democrats on the short list for president, like Josh Shapiro, Gavin Newsom, King Philip in New Jersey, Gretchen Whitmer, all these other names that are floated around the country. Well, first of all, obviously, there's Kamala Harris standing in the way. So there's a couple options here. First option is Joe Biden just gets out and says, all right, you know what? It's a free for all. Have at it. Have fun. And then the Democrats have a divisive primary like the Republicans are having. So option number one. Option number two, Biden stays in as long as possible. They all know he's exiting the door, racks up the delegates, pushes Bobby Kennedy aside, and winds up becoming the nominee, only to give up being the nominee for whoever the replacement is, not named Kamala Harris. And then all the delegates go to that person because they have two problems. They don't want either Robert F. Kennedy Jr. or Bernie Sanders. This is the Democrats' problem right now. And either of them could win the nomination. They could. I mean, that's the thing. The Democrats want to control this process up and down. They can't risk it. Bernie, you can't control Bernie. Say what you want about him. He's nuts. He's a red. He's a commie. But you can't control the guy. He's a disruptor like Trump is. He's going to go in there and he's going to not listen to the masters. Same with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Same thing. He's going to go in there and not listen to the masters. Yeah, he was on a podcast with Barry Weiss, who used to be at the New York Times, and he was going on about Big Pharma, how the Democrat Party's become emboldened to Big Pharma. He talks about the war machine. He says he'll get out of Ukraine. They don't want that. They can't let that guy become the nominee. If Joe Biden drops out tomorrow, then it's a free-for-all, and it's a wild card. You can try to control it, but it's a wild card. If you keep him in this race until the last possible minute, you could do a switcheroo, and then you've got more control over it. Of course, the third option is that basically Joe Biden stays as the nominee, but they dump Kamala Harris and put somebody else on the ticket who's really going to be who people are voting for. That's another option. I think that one's the kind of the least plausible scenario. But let's think about this now. You have this massive story about Hunter Biden. New York Times covers it. NBC News covers it. So what does that mean? Does that mean that the corporate media has been given the green light to go after him? Or does it mean that this is the beginning of the going after him? That it's very important that the stage is set now for what is going to be inevitable, that Joe Biden is not going to be the candidate. Because otherwise, why is the corporate media reporting on this? Why is the New York Times running a story about this? Why is NBC News reporting on this? Take a listen, Cut 13.
Lester, these two senior IRS agents allege that the president's son received preferential treatment throughout the five-year tax investigation that resulted in two misdemeanor guilty pleas this week. In testimony released by a Republican-led House committee, the agents accused the DOJ and the FBI of slow-walking portions of the investigation to Hunter Biden's benefit, and that efforts by the Trump-appointed U.S. attorney leading the probe to charge more serious crimes were blocked. A DOJ spokesman tonight denied any such interference. One whistleblower also provided what he says are WhatsApp messages from Hunter Biden to a Chinese business associate from 2017, in which the younger Biden says he's sitting with his father waiting on a response to a proposal, and that he and the then former vice president will make the business partner regret not responding.
How about that, huh? NBC News reports Hunter on the Hunter Biden story. Wow. So does that mean that this is the end for Joe Biden? I mean, is that what we're talking about here? Is that where we're going? I don't know. I'm excited about the prospect, but also very, very nervous. I think Joe Biden's beatable. I don't know about whatever little switcheroo they do, though. You know what I mean? That makes me nervous. Joe Biden can be beaten. In 2020, they all circled the wagons in October 2020 to make everybody believe the Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian disinformation. Why? Because it implicated Joe Biden and his corruption. The image of Joe Biden as the, you know, the nice uncle who says inappropriate things at the dinner table, but you like him and he's a blah, blah, blah. The image of Joe Biden, who's a nasty guy, actually, but the image that they made of him. Well, now it's the image of a guy who's corrupt with an economy that stinks. Oh, and also, by the way, a guy who doesn't know what day it is. Doesn't even know what day it is. Here you go. Biden, cut number one.
Thank you. Enjoy your meal.
He turns around and says, "Where are we?" So he doesn't know where he is, what day it is, what he's doing. He has no idea. He doesn't know where trains go either. There's Joe Biden talking about having a choo-choo train all the way. Well, you take a listen. Cut two.
Moving ourselves and having railway to go all the way across the southern two-thirds, from the Atlantic Ocean to the Indian Ocean in Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that sounds great. I can't wait to get on that train. The beverage car is going to be sick. You know what I mean? I love a good beverage car on a train. That's going to be a long trip. Also very, very wet. But the point is that Joe Biden has lost it. The economy stinks, and he's also corrupt. Not exactly, and he's 80 years old. So not exactly the picture perfect of what you want in a candidate. If you're checking boxes, he literally checks none of them. It's like young and energetic. Nope. Fluid with his mind and lucid all there. Nope. Straight as an arrow. Nope. No scandals. Nope. I mean, come on. So if Donald Trump's a nominee, Donald Trump's going to win. And I say that because I think any Republican wins. I know that there's a theory out there that he'll lose. And I understand that candidates running against him have to say that should be their talking point. I get that. But I just believe that if things are the way they are in 2024, whoever the Republican nominee is wins. I think polling data shows that. I think the Democrats know that. I think that they're freaking out. That's what I think. That's what I think is happening right now. And I think the fact of the argument being Joe Biden can't get reelected. The Democrats cannot give up control. They can't risk it. Biden's a placeholder. That's all he is. Biden's on a movement. I mean, Joe Biden does not represent anything other than doing what he's told, as a puppet does. And that's it. He's just a puppet who's there as a placeholder. They just need somebody else there, and then they can handle whatever they want. Look, you cannot sit here and tell me that this story of Hunter Biden is going away when you actually have the New York Times and NBC News reporting on this. There's a reason they're doing it. They're only doing it because of the fact that they have to. The masters have given the order. New York Post has a story, actually, that Hunter Biden was kicked out of a $10,000 sex club for grabbing women's behinds and acting like a spoiled child. Hunter Biden got the president's troubled son is a really bad guy, not a good person. He's just not, said Damon Lawner, who founded the notorious SNCTM Club, where membership ran as high as $75,000 a year. And Hunter's $10,000 payment led to Lawner receiving an IRS subpoena. Oof. He claimed that the payment was made through a mystery woman in 2018 and that he was later informed of a probe by the IRS criminal division who asked me about bookkeeping and records. Lawner said he decided to disclose Biden's sex club membership after Hunter Biden was given a virtual slap on the wrist on Tuesday in an income tax and gun case after a five-year federal investigation. See how these people are coming out now? I think a lot of people are very angry at this plea deal, and you are going to have more people coming out to tell the truth. The whopping fee, Lawner said, was made through an LLC that hid Hunter's name and paid by a mystery woman who accompanied the president's son, high as a kite, and zonked out to the sex club. Sometime in 2018, the woman applied for membership in the upscale sex club, which reportedly was attended by celebrities including Gwyneth Paltrow and Bill Maher. Wow, that's some real time right there, huh? The woman told Lawner, who approved all memberships, that she would be accompanied by a handsome man. When he requested more information, she would only state that his name was Hunter and that he was a member of a prominent political family. On their first and only visit, Hunter acted so rude to upscale female members, grabbing their behinds and other behaviors that went against the club's rules, he asked them to leave and banned him from future events. One of the club rules at SNCTM was always ask before you touch. When I told Hunter he had to leave, that people were complaining about his behavior, he was belligerent and acted like a spoiled child, but he did leave. You know, the thing about clubs like this is you have to wear a robe. There's a lot of robes. And I'm looking at some of the pictures in the New York Post, and most everybody's wearing a robe. I'm not a robe guy. You know what I mean? I don't feel comfortable in robes. It's a thing. And my wife and I go to hotels, and there's usually like the fluffy cotton robe behind the door or something like that. No interest. I don't know. I'm just not a robe guy. So I would not do well in a club like this. I really would not. But anyway, it was when the Post broke the story last year of Hunter Biden's laptop, which contains, among other things, pornographic photos of the first son and women, as well as pictures of him doing drugs and even proof of payment to prostitutes, that the sex club owner saw Hunter's photo for the first time and realized he was the stone guy who he'd banned from the club. November 1st, 2021, he received a subpoena by mail from the criminal division of the IRS. He claimed the entities Owasco PC and Owasco LLC were listed in the subpoena as part of the investigation. They allegedly belonged to Hunter. Under questioning by an IRS investigator in a phone call, Lawner said he did not keep any records about the payment or others to keep my club membership anonymous. The agent told me I'm not in any trouble and that this is an ongoing investigation and I was not allowed to talk about the case. The owner of the club added that he received no further contact from the IRS and gathered it did not have any interest in Biden's sex club activities, but rather the $10,000 funding the membership. Since they founded the club in 2013, only five men have been ordered to leave and were blacklisted, he noted. After Hunter reached a plea deal with federal prosecutors on Tuesday, that's when the owner took to Instagram, revealing that Biden had been a member very briefly of his club. Hunter was a member of SNCTM, and I canceled his membership after one party because he's a scumbag, he wrote. And he's since deleted the post. He sold the club just days before the pandemic and is currently in the process of opening an upscale LA eatery with a sensual theme and marketing a brand new brand of marijuana called sex weed that he claims is good for relations. I wonder how a club like this does in a global pandemic. It's got to be awkward wearing a robe and a mask at the same time, I would think, you know. But again, it's not my thing. All right, so we got a lot more on this to share with you today. It is Friday edition of The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, if you'd like to weigh in. We're coming right back.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download The Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a Friday afternoon here on the Dana Show. Thanks for being here today. A lot to chat about. Hunter Biden, and what do you think is going to happen with this whistleblower? I mean, clearly everybody wants to talk to this guy, no doubt about it, Gary Shapley. So we're going to follow all that stuff for you. I think Joe Biden's done. I really do. I've been saying that for some time now. I think he's done. Garland responded a short time ago, Merrick Garland, to the IRS whistleblower who said U.S. Attorney David Weiss was told not to bring charges against Hunter Biden. He said, quote, "I don't know how it would be possible for anybody to block him from bringing a prosecution." That's what he just said a few moments ago. Well, according to the whistleblower, because the prosecutor has his district, to go outside of that district requires permission from main justice in Washington, D.C., or the other U.S. attorney. He said, "Some have chosen to attack the integrity of the Justice Department by claiming that we do not treat cases alike. This constitutes an attack on an institution that is essential to American democracy. Nothing could be further from the truth." An attack on an institution. Listen to this drama, right? The attack on an institution. So people criticizing the Justice Department are attacking an institution. Unbelievable. Every day is January 6th in their mind, though, of course. "I don't know how it would be possible for anybody to block him from bringing a prosecution." I just told you how. How do you not know? Everybody knows. Everybody said, the whistleblower said it too. I got an idea. I'll give you a deal. Right now, just appoint a special counsel. Say, you know what? The heck with it. I'm appointing a special counsel right now. I want justice out of it. We're done. And special counsel, here you go. That'll make everybody happy. Wow, what a great Friday gift that could be to everybody, Merrick Garland. You could do that right now. Right now. Just say it. Say it. I declare special counsel. Boom. And then he'll magically appear. I mean, you name one for Trump, you name one for Joe Biden, but only in classified documents, not as it relates to Hunter Biden and these accusations. I mean, I would think if I were the president, I would want one because I would want to clear my name. I would want to make sure that everybody knows I'm not a crook. American people need to know their president is not a crook, right? So why not help clear the guy's name, unless you don't like him very much. You want this air of corruption to hang over him like this. That doesn't seem like a very nice thing to do. Just saying. If you cared about the guy, you get a special counsel in there to go clear him. Except the special counsel wouldn't clear him now, would he? No, of course not. That's why you don't have a special counsel. That's why you had a U.S. attorney in Delaware who was limited to that area of the country, as opposed to the other areas. And then why was a search warrant turned down to search the garage? As what the whistleblower alleged. Why was a search warrant denied to search the garage? Because it was Joe Biden's garage. Why was it turned down? Why were several requests made by the U.S. attorney to proceed in the investigation not granted by the United States, by Maine Justice, which is the attorney general? Merrick Garland's lying. He's lying right now, pretending like he had nothing to do with this investigation. You're telling me the criminal investigation into the president's son? Everybody who works in the bureaucracy is very good at CYA, covering your you-know-what. They're very good at it. These people, they don't make a move without checking the boxes and making sure that they get the okay from somebody. They're all terrified. They're all terrified of making a mistake. They're not terrified about doing things wrong. They know they'll survive that. But if they don't follow proper protocol and chains like that, that's when they get in trouble. And that's the only time they get in trouble, is if they don't follow proper protocol. So you're telling me nobody would let the Attorney General of the United States know how the investigation's going into the president's idiot crackhead son? Especially when we're talking about the vice president's house, who's now the president of the United States, his house? Stop. Please. They always say I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. All right? We got a big second hour coming up here on The Dana Show. The search for the submersible. Was the whole thing over days ago, and they just kept the search going needlessly? Very sad story. Don't go away. It's Friday.
Want to win a free laptop? To celebrate the 300th episode of the Tech It Out radio show and podcast, where I break down geek speak into street speak each week, we're giving away an Asus ZenBook 14 laptop. To be eligible to win, you need to be in the continental U.S., at least 18 years of age, and simply post the hashtag Tech It Out on your favorite social media platform. A name will be randomly chosen in a week. Good luck, and thank you for tuning in to Tech It Out on your favorite podcast platform.
So did a top secret military acoustic detection system pick up the implosion of the Titan submersible days ago? Certainly looks like it. Welcome back to the Dana Show. Great to have you with us this afternoon. It's a Friday edition, and it's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. Wall Street Journal came out with this story yesterday, and it is remarkable what they reported. It came out about 7:15 p.m. last night. And it was written by one, two, three, four reporters. And I'll share some of it with you. It says a top secret military acoustic detection system designed to spot enemy submarines first heard what the U.S. Navy suspected was the Titan submersible implosion hours after the submersible began its voyage. The Navy began listening for the Titan almost as soon as the sub lost communications, according to a U.S. defense official. Shortly after the submersible's disappearance on Sunday, the U.S. system detected what it suspected was the sound of an implosion near the debris site discovered Thursday and reported its findings to the Coast Guard commanders on site, according to U.S. defense officials. While the Navy couldn't say definitively the sound came from the Titan, the discovery played a role in narrowing the scope of the search for the vessel before its debris was discovered Thursday. Quote, the U.S. Navy conducted an analysis of acoustic data and detected an anomaly consistent with an implosion or explosion in the general vicinity of where the Titan submersible was operating when communications were lost, according to a senior U.S. Navy official. While not definitive, this information was immediately shared with the incident commander to assist with the ongoing search and rescue mission. Officials decided to continue the mission as a search and rescue and make every effort to save the lives on board, according to the U.S. Navy statement. The Navy asked that the specific system used not be named, citing national security concerns. It is normally used to detect enemy submarines. The U.S. Navy typically deals with foreign threats using military capabilities. The U.S. Coast Guard typically carries out search and rescue operations and handles other matters directly related to the security of the country. The two services often operate together, of course, due to their mutual maritime missions. The search for the Titan was conducted roughly 900 miles off the coast of Massachusetts. So they say that searchers found debris from the submersible about 1,600 feet from the bow of the Titanic, and the U.S. Coast Guard, Canadian, U.S., and French ships were all part of the search. The Coast Guard did not immediately respond to requests for comment about what information it received and how it was used. Now, James Cameron, of course, who directed the movie The Titanic and has taken a bunch of submersible tours of the site, he thinks that what happened here was a completely cynical sham, a sham investigation. That's what he said. And he's very angry about this. He really is. We have some audio of him, and I'll play that for you in a second, but he's very upset by what he said was it was a sham investigation to get people's hopes up. He put on Twitter yesterday, he said, I knew the Titanic submarine imploded on Monday and rescue was a charade. He called the search a prolonged, nightmarish charade. Wow. Amazing, right? So why do you think they did it is the question. Here's a little bit of James Cameron, Cut 11.
I'm struck by the similarity of the Titanic disaster itself, where the captain was repeatedly warned about ice ahead of his ship, and yet he steamed at full speed into an ice field on a moonless night, and many people died as a result. And for a very similar tragedy where warnings went unheeded to take place at the same exact site, with all the diving that's going on all around the world, I think it's just astonishing. It's really quite surreal.
So the U.S. Navy detected the Titan implosion on Sunday, but the Biden administration only released news on Thursday, which ironically enough came right after the Hunter Biden plea deal, and also the whistleblower reports were released. So you got to wonder, you know, are these things coincidences that they come out when they come out? Everybody was talking about the Titan yesterday, everybody. And I remember this because obviously I was on the air with you yesterday filling in for the Dana Show. And then I started my own show in Philadelphia on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD where I do the afternoon drive show, 3 to 7 p.m. So I start on that show at 3 p.m. So I quickly signed off from this show, signed on to that show. And during the course of this show yesterday, I kept sharing with you the fact that the Coast Guard was about to make a statement, a briefing, a Q&A with reporters at 3 p.m. So I texted my producer back at my show in Philly and said, we should take this live. So we were all ready to go, ready to take it live. And they started, I mean, at like clockwork at 3 o'clock. I figured we'd have till 3:05, maybe 3:15. Nobody's ever on time. These guys were right on time. 3 p.m. sharp. They came out and said everybody was dead. There was an implosion, a catastrophic event. But they had this information days ago. And yesterday was also the day that the news about the Hunter Biden whistleblower came out. There were really two competing stories yesterday. The Titan submersible, that the search was over, that they were dead, that it was a catastrophic event. And they said, if you remember yesterday too, during the day, they kept going, well, we found debris, this debris field near the Titanic, which also has its own debris field. So everybody was wondering, you know, is this hopeful? Is this optimistic? I think it was News Nation, actually had a countdown clock on their screen showing the amount of oxygen, like when the oxygen would be depleted in the Titan submersible. Kind of ghoulish. And then yesterday morning, they came out and said, oh, we think there's more air there than we know. So we think that they still have, well, there's still a chance. So they let this charade continue when OceanGate knew, the Coast Guard knew, the Biden administration knew, they knew that everybody was dead. People were lighting candles, saying prayers. Even as of yesterday, mid-morning, when news of the debris came out, until it was confirmed by that, remember there was that guy who was doing a Daily Mail interview, gets a text from a friend who was a friend of one of the passengers, and they said, yeah, they found, you know, actual pieces of the debris of the submersible. They said, all right, well, then hope is lost here. You know, this thing is not, they're not rescuing anybody. But why did they wait so long? And I'm just saying, it's a coincidence, maybe, but I also don't really believe in coincidences in life. I think things are very planned. You just don't let things to chance. Because really, yesterday, the other news story was that the whistleblower came forward and had all of these conversations about how the Department of Justice was covering for Hunter Biden, how the U.S. attorney was hamstrung, and how there was evidence of this text message, this WhatsApp message between Hunter Biden and his Chinese friends, and it implicated Joe Biden in all this. All this came out yesterday as well. So they knew on Sunday that this thing was gone. They knew this. But they didn't tell us. So I have a problem with that. It'd be one thing if they didn't know. There was a breakdown in communications between the Navy and the Coast Guard. All right, stuff happens. But the Navy said, we told the Coast Guard right away. We let them know. I guess the Navy felt it wasn't their place to let everybody else know. But the Coast Guard kept coming out and giving briefings. And the Coast Guard is part of the Department of Homeland Security, obviously. They're not part of the military in that sense. They answer to the Department of Homeland Security. Of course, they are considered to be part of the military. And they are deserve tremendous respect, of course. I mean, Coast Guard's outstanding. They do so much work to protect the homeland. Biden as commander-in-chief or as the president, either way, he's in charge. I mean, it's Coast Guard, so he's in charge. And I'm just wondering how they were able to go out there and keep giving these briefings. And the argument I guess they're using is, well, we weren't 100% sure. So we wanted to keep going. We wanted to keep searching. But why not be honest about that and say, well, we think that there's no hope here, but we're going to keep searching for a couple days. They hid that. And it's not like they hid it because it was classified. They're telling everybody about it. They're just not naming the system, what the system is. But they're not keeping that part of the story secret. Because I could understand that. You know, if the Navy said, look, we knew this thing blew up on Sunday, but we can't tell anybody because then our enemies are going to know we have the sophisticated acoustic technology. We don't want them knowing that. It's just going to help. It's going to hurt us. So, yeah, we had to let this charade go. I mean, I could, if like years later that story came to light, I could completely understand that. I would. You know, 5 years from now, you read a story how the Navy said we knew all along, but we couldn't tell anybody because it would have risked national security. All right, I'm sure that stuff happens. No big deal. I don't think anybody would have thought twice about it. But that's not what they did. They told everybody. They told the Wall Street Journal yesterday. The U.S. Navy conducted an analysis of acoustic data and detected an anomaly consistent with an implosion or explosion in the general vicinity of where the Titan submersible was operating when communications were lost. So was this timed yesterday to distract everybody from the whistleblower? This major bombshell that this guy was dropping about Joe Biden being connected to Hunter Biden and the Chinese and the way the U.S. attorney had one hand tied behind his back the entire time. Is all of this just a gigantic coincidence? I'm like Vito Corleone in that sense, from The Godfather. I don't believe in coincidences. So if something should happen to one of the people in this room, you know, I'm going to blame somebody. That's how I look at the world. Maybe it's a little cynical of me. I understand that. That's okay. I can live with that. But the idea, though, that, you know, this is just the same time this massive story about the whistleblower came out. It was the same day that they finally came clean about the fact that they knew this thing was gone. I'm just not buying it. I'm just not buying it. Something stinks about this. It really does. Something stinks. Again, if the Navy had come out and said, "Well, we just can't tell you. We had to keep it secret." I would completely understand. Completely understand. Parts of the hull were found in the second debris field. The tail cone and parts of the hull were discovered in one debris field, and that's what we know. And he said that it was basically crushed. An underwater implosion is the sudden collapse of a submarine when the tremendous pressure of the seawater overpowers the pressure inside the vessel and crushes it. Officials leading the search also said they heard sounds similar to knocking from the vessel, but said they couldn't conclude the noises came from the Titan. It was unclear what other factors narrowed the search area, which eventually grew to twice the size of Connecticut. But a U.S. defense official said the analysis of the acoustic data was a significant factor in scoping the search area and thereby enabling the assets on scene to locate the degree of the debris field. The U.S. is expected to conduct an investigation and try to determine whether the sound definitely came from the Titan, but what government entity would carry out the probe and any time frame for completing it remains unclear, according to a U.S. defense official. The U.S. developed its acoustic systems after World War II to detect enemy submarines operating in the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. The Navy said it shared its findings Sunday with the Coast Guard, which led the search. The U.S. held off making it public, making public what noises it had detected because it wanted to ensure search and rescue operations continued and couldn't say for sure it was such an implosion. It looks that the Titan imploded on Sunday on its way down to the Titanic shortly after contact was lost at a depth around 9,000 feet. So, you know, I guess conclude what you want. I certainly have my theories. No question about it. All right. It is the Dana Show. It's Friday edition. We got a lot more to talk about. We're just getting warmed up here. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, coming right back.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
All right, we got a lot to get to this afternoon. We have some audio for you of Merrick Garland, the press conference he just gave, where he defends his handling of the Hunter Biden investigation. We'll share that, absolutely. And give me your thoughts on what you think about the when they reported the Titan submersible. My buddy Johnny Cook, back in one of my loyal Philadelphia audience members, although he technically lives in Virginia, he says, come on, they couldn't tell anybody because until they had the debris, they didn't know for sure. Imagine if they were wrong. So that's his take on it. I don't know. Something about this stinks. Something about this is rubbing me the wrong way. I don't know. But anyway, we'll talk more about that. I got five things to share with you right now, so let's do it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
It has become a distraction. Indeed, it has. The National Hockey League says teams will no longer wear pride jerseys. No pride jerseys during pregame warmups on theme nights next season after a number of players pushed back against the effort. All 32 teams held pride nights this past season and in some cases wore and even auctioned off rainbow-colored jerseys. The refusal of some NHL players to participate led NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman and later the league's Board of Governors to conclude it's become a distraction from the actual hockey as well as the causes highlighted. The board instituted the policy on Thursday. I'll have more for you on that. There was a hailstorm in Red Rocks Concertgoers were pelted by hail Wednesday night at the Red Rocks Amphitheater as severe thunderstorms moved across Colorado. About 100 people were treated for injuries at the venue, some of whom called 911 for their injuries, according to the news story out of KDVR in Denver. Phone-free zone. Finland has introduced the world's first digital detox tourist island. You cannot have any social media whatsoever. You won't be able to Instagram it. Nothing. It is a phone-free zone. The tiny little island on the eastern Gulf of Finland, the island of Jokotamio, which is located off the coast of Hamina, will be a phone-free area this summer, they said. We want to urge holidaymakers to switch off their smart devices and to stop and genuinely enjoy the islands. Travelers will then realize they have to talk to each other and never come back there ever again. I just added that for context. Coors Light embraces the Denver Pride Parade despite the backlash. I guess this is a hold my beer moment to Bud Light. Coors Light is standing firm as the title sponsor of the Denver Pride Parade. The beer maker's stance is notable given the ongoing right-wing backlash and boycott of major brands that embrace the gay and transgender community, like its competitor, Bud Light. The Coors Light Denver Pride Parade this Sunday is the largest to date, with an estimated 15,000 people marching and another 100,000 plus expected to watch along the route. And France plans for flying taxis during the 2024 Paris Olympics. I don't believe this. They've been promising us flying cars for how long? Come on already. I want my flying cars. I want one. We deserve it. We've earned this. I don't believe this. And also, it's the French. Just saying. If it was another country, maybe I could buy this. Lastly, an asteroid roughly the same size as the Titanic will pass by the Earth this weekend. So the Titanic is still in the news. It is a massive asteroid, will pass by Earth, but still be a couple miles away, so don't get your hopes up. All right, we got more to talk about here on The Dana Show. Busy afternoon. It's me, Rich, in for my friend Dana. Coming right back.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Republicans in Congress have flirted with the idea of holding the FBI director in contempt. It's become a talking point on the campaign trail, the alleged corruption in the FBI and other federal law enforcement agencies. Do the American people have cause to be concerned about the integrity of the components of this Justice Department? And what do you have to say about how they're acting?
I certainly understand that some have chosen to attack the integrity of the Justice Department and its components and its employees by claiming that we do not treat like cases alike. This constitutes an attack on an institution that is essential to American democracy and essential to the safety of the American people. Nothing could be further from the truth.
That, of course, is the Attorney General Merrick Garland reading a prepared, scripted statement that sounds like a hostage video. Here on The Dana Show with me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana today. Excuse me. Garland is a guy with an axe to grind. He's very bitter. He didn't get his hearing. Didn't get his confirmation hearing. He's very bitter. He does not like Republicans. He does not like, and he's going to use the Justice Department for a political purpose, however he sees fit, to cover for his friends, to go after his enemies, whatever he's got to do, he's going to do it. Hell, that's what Merrick Garland believes he has the right to do, since you didn't put him on the Supreme Court. Well, since you didn't put him on the Supreme Court, Republicans, you pay the price. You know, over at Reason.com, which is a libertarian site, J.D. Tichilli has a piece on this, and he points out something about Hunter Biden's plea deal. Look, I mean, this is a guy who says, I'd love it if nobody got in trouble for not paying taxes, and if nobody got in trouble for lying on a gun form because you didn't even have to fill out any forms. Be great, but that's not the world we live in. It's not the world that Joe Biden wants to make for this country. The tough on crime Joe Biden, who back in 2023 during his State of the Union address, before he said at the end, he said, I just signed a law to reduce the deficit by $114 billion by cracking down on wealthy tax cheats. Would a wealthy tax cheat maybe be a fair characterization of Hunter, who of course admitted to failing to pay taxes on taxable income in excess of $1.5 million annually in calendar years 2017 and 2018? I would think so. I would imagine that is wealthy tax cheats. I would imagine Hunter absolutely fits the bill for that. The younger Biden benefited from the sort of deal his father frowns upon for everybody else. As vice president in the Obama administration, Joe Biden was tasked with developing gun control policies. His team's proposals were published in January 2013 and included increased, quote, prosecutions of people who have been convicted of a felony and illegally seek to obtain a firearm, or people who attempt to evade the background check system by providing false information. That runs up against the reality that the younger Biden lied on his federal 4473 form about his drug use, and as a result, possessed a firearm despite knowing he was an unlawful user of and addicted to a controlled substance. In keeping with all things tax related, there's little consistency by which to assess Biden's tax deal. Two former IRS lawyers said Biden's deal is not an outlier, according to Politico. Two other former tax officials told Politico that Biden could have faced stiffer charges. Prosecutors are typically heavy-handed when it comes to any form of taxes, said former prosecutor Arthur Idala. This whole thing is not being handled the way a case would typically be handled. Strictly speaking, while lying on the background check forms is rarely prosecuted, the federal government is merciless on prohibited categories of people possessing firearms. In 2020, the United States Sentencing Commission reported that 96.7% of felon in possession of firearm offenders were sentenced to prison. Let me share that again. 96% of felon in possession of firearm offenders were sentenced to prison, with an average sentence of 62 months. 96.7%. That means that Hunter Biden is in the very, very small camp that is, and I'm no math guy, I'm going to do my best here, 3.3%. I nailed it. 3.3% of people who don't wind up being sentenced to prison for that, and they might have been sentenced for something else, might have been a plea deal with something else on that, and then they serve for something else, they may cooperate with the government, we don't know, but I think almost 97% sentencing rate for felons in possession of firearms is a huge, huge number, with an average sentence of 62 months. While Hunter wasn't a convicted felon, though his taste for crack might have gained him that status under his drug warrior father's preferred policies. Remember, Joe Biden was one of the guys who led the war on crack cocaine, very proud of that with his mandatory minimums and everything else. He was a prohibited person. He and the White House are undoubtedly pleased to escape serious time behind bars. But in truth, Joe Biden wouldn't be the only tough on crime blowhard to flinch from the personal impact of draconian policies. As you think about this now and this sweetheart deal, so many of the people right now that are going, oh, this is fine. This is fine. Even the Washington Post, the far right wing Washington Post, had to concede that Hunter Biden is fortunate to face the charges at hand instead of answering for a larger can of worms, including where his money came from and why. They wrote his laptop that became public in 2020 showcased questionable behavior, including dealings with a Chinese energy company. You think? I mean, I love that. I really do. I love it. That makes me very happy to hear that. No, it does. It makes me very happy. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because the laptop, the Washington Post told us back then, was Russian disinformation. So, you know, now they have to, they got to admit that, yeah, you know, it was definitely Russian disinformation. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It wasn't. It was actually real. That's awkward for them. Don't you think? That's awkward for the Washington Post. All these other entities, too. It's got to be a little bit awkward. I'm just saying. The far right wing Washington Post saying that the Hunter Biden sentencing is fair, but Hunter dodged a major bullet here. He dodged a major bullet, to say the least, huh? If you're not named Hunter Biden, you're probably going to prison. No, you're definitely going to prison. You are. That's the thing. You're going to prison. No prison time for Hunter Biden. And tough on crime old Joe would be angry about the gun charge and the fact that Hunter Biden's a tax cheat. And he would also be unhappy with the fact that Hunter Biden used crack cocaine and lied about it on his gun form. All these things. Joe Biden is the biggest hypocrite of all of them, because Joe Biden was the guy out there saying over and over for years, guys like Hunter Biden should be in prison. Man. Jonathan Turley, of course, George Washington University law professor, said he will plead to a couple of misdemeanors on tax violations without addressing how he actually made his money. The gun charge looks like a serious threat for incarceration, but it is little more than a phantom felony count under which Hunter will be allowed to go into a diversion program and ultimately negate the violation. But the fact that Hunter Biden doesn't have to address how he actually made his money is because that part of the story lands directly at the feet of his father, the big guy. See, by making this plea, it all goes away. And simultaneously, when the U.S. attorney in Delaware says the case is ongoing, of course, that means they don't have to cooperate with congressional investigators. See, they're very sneaky. They're really, really sneaky about this. They let everybody think it's over. At the same time, they're telling everybody it's not over. Very sneaky. Of course, we see through this. We know, you know, I know, we all know what this is about. This is about the fact that they want this investigation to go away because it lands at Joe Biden's feet. Joe Biden's a big guy. That's what everything came out yesterday with the whistleblower. All of this has to do with him. But if you keep the investigation ongoing, inevitably, eventually, the evidence is there. It comes out. So the sooner you can have this plea, a judge signs off on it, and that's the end of it, the sooner you can move on and protect Joe Biden. That's it. Wall Street Journal had an excellent piece on this, too, about the whistleblower. Gary Shapley's testimony will be hard for Democrats to ignore, they write. I agree. I think it will be hard to ignore. They're going to try their best, though. Make no mistake about that. They can't actually admit that this is a problem, but they're going to have to talk about it. I think this is the end for Joe Biden. I've been saying that for a while. I think Joe Biden's not going to be the candidate. But let's just break down a little bit of what this all means, right? We've heard all these whistleblower takes over the years. It's right to be skeptical about this, but Kimberly Strassel of the Wall Street Journal recounted some of the highlights from the testimony. The details are shocking if true because they charge political interference and favorable prosecutorial treatment in the IRS probe of Hunter Biden. President Biden's son agreed to a deal this week to plead guilty to two minor counts of failing to make proper tax payments. Agent Gary Shapley claims his IRS unit recommended more serious felony charges based partly on what he described as a scheme to hide payments from Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company that hired Hunter as a consultant. Shapley claims U.S. Attorney David Weiss was blocked from pursuing those charges, which the Justice Department denies, Merrick Garland denies. You just played that. We played that clip for you. And then he recounts the 2017 WhatsApp message from Hunter to Henry Zhao. He calls him Z. And then if this is true, then Hunter was threatening a foreign business partner with retribution from Joe Biden, who was then the former American vice president and potential future presidential candidate. And there's hundreds of pages of testimony by this IRS whistleblower. I mean, we're still just getting details on all this right now. Now, these are allegations. But as the Journal writes it, I think they say it very well, the press won't help public understanding by ignoring them. The testimony is already rocketing around the internet, and Democrats counting on Mr. Biden in 2024 would be wise to pay attention. You're damn right they'd be wise to pay attention. And they will when they need to. No question about it. If you are somebody who is a civil libertarian, you believe in criminal justice reform, then you should be particularly angry. Particularly angry, like Brett Tolman is, for example, because he runs right on crime. So he's a guy that's out there as a conservative talking about the need for criminal justice reform all the time. And he's very angry about the sweetheart deal that Hunter Biden got because people like him are in prison for this. But the problem for everybody is that if Hunter Biden's going to prison, that guy is going to sing like a canary. You know it and I know it. Guys like him, they sing. Oh, they sing. Loud, and they name names. And that brings down the whole empire. Can't do that. Can't have that happen. The reason why there's a plea deal that avoids jail time is because a guy like Hunter wouldn't last 5 minutes in prison. He knows that. He's weak. He will sing to avoid prison time in a heartbeat, even if it means ratting out his own father. Even if it means that, whatever he's got to do. And if this was a real case, that's exactly what would be happening right now. Hunter Biden would be naming names. They would try to bring down this Chinese syndicate, this Ukrainian syndicate, funneling money and all this money laundering and all these shell companies. They'd blow it wide open. Instead, plea deal, zip it, you're out. Come on. You know I'm right about this. You know I'm right. That's why there's a plea deal. because Hunter Biden will be warming up those pipes right about now, getting opera training, getting ready to sing at the top of his lungs and name names. He's just that kind of guy. He's a slime ball. He has no honor. Hunter Biden has no honor. Come on. That guy will name names, and then those people will name other names, and eventually this will connect Joe Biden with actual evidence, and that will be the end. And the Democrats might have a scandal on their hands bigger than Watergate that could last them for years. That's why Hunter Biden's getting a plea deal. That's the reason why. This is The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana on a busy Friday afternoon. We're coming right back.
If you had to take care of some lefty trying to outsmart you in the Walmart parking lot and missed any portion of today's show, download the latest Dana Show podcast on your preferred podcast platform.
All right, so the question as the day goes on today is, where does all this go next for Hunter Biden and the investigation? I think next week's going to be a big week. I do. I got a good feeling about it. I think it's going to be a big week. And by the way, James Cameron also wondered why the search for the Titan sub didn't start directly below where the last signal was sent. That's something else on the Titan sub. There's still a lot of questions around that. John Kirby is briefing right now at the Pentagon, but it's that time of the show. We gotta head down to Florida for a minute. Let's do it.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Yeah, this guy is a Florida man with a 20-year-old. 20-year-old revoked license, all right? He crashed into a business. These people are amazing, right? Crashed into a business, then flees from the scene. Florida man crashed into an Orlando business after losing control of the vehicle, then fled the scene after sustaining injuries due to the crash. Clarence Marshall, 38 years old, was driving a white Hyundai while speeding through a red light when the car hit a dip in the road, causing the car to go airborne, according to witness statements. He lost control of the vehicle, and he dove into a rapid cash store along Curry Ford Road. So he exits the car, he asks for help, he runs away from the scene of the incident, and then a canine unit and the Orange County Sheriff's Office helicopter eventually found him in between a shed and a fence. Luckily, they found him because he was taken to the hospital for a head wound that he suffered from the crash. I am butt naked. Nude Florida man takes deputies on a high-speed chase after hitting several cars. And this guy, there's even audio with this genius. He actually was yelling at them, "I am butt naked." A Florida Fish and Wildlife officer was traveling in the area of State Road 100 East and Old Kings Road South when he witnessed a light blue SUV driving through the intersection, striking multiple vehicles. So the officer activated his emergency lights, attempting to pull the driver of the SUV over. And the guy was going very, very fast, obviously. The driver then entered the Flagler County landfill before traveling into the wooded area between the landfill and Interstate 95. Deputies said they were able to locate the car, which appeared to be stuck against a concrete barrier. They gave the driver and passenger several commands to exit the car, but they both reportedly refused. At one point, the driver can be heard over body cam footage saying to the deputies, "I am butt naked." The driver, 22-year-old Steven Peterson of Port Orange, was removed and can be seen wearing socks and a small covering around his waist. The woman passenger, 20-year-old Victoria Avernill, was also forcibly removed from the car. He was arrested for fleeing and eluding, leaving the scene of a crash with damage to vehicle or property, resisting an officer without violence, trespassing on school grounds, possession of marijuana under 20 grams, and possession of drug paraphernalia / equipment. I don't know if he was also charged with showing his junk. I don't know if there was anything about that. But you got to wonder what they were doing in the car together naked. I have my ideas. I don't know, but you could probably make your assumption, I would imagine. That's not the only nearly naked guy, though. There's another guy who was also nearly naked. And this guy, I mean, what is it about taking clothes off in the car? What is so attractive about this? I don't really understand this. So this guy was caught with his pants down after his awkward arrest takes a very unexpected turn. This guy was wanted. His pants fell down after allegedly shoplifting from Target. And then the thing about the story, which gets even weirder, is that he paid for stuff and stuffed the stuff that he paid for in his pants. Now, I don't understand that because in New Jersey, we're not allowed to have bags. They won't give you a bag at a store. So I can understand if this was Jersey, and the guy's shoving stuff in his pants because you got to carry it out to the car. So many times this has happened to me where I've gotten to the store and I forgot my stupid bags. I'm not buying new ones. And now I got to figure out a way to get all this crap out of the store. Sometimes people don't even pay for it. They just walk right out with it because how do you know? But then when I go on vacation to Florida, I am always so relieved at the fact that they will hand you a bag to put your worldly possessions in as you leave a store. Isn't that freedom? That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. All right, speaking of Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis had lots to say. We got some audio of him as the race for 2024 heats up. And the White House briefing underway as the whistleblower transcripts are released. This is The Dana Show. Still coming after Donald Trump, the special counsel Jack Smith, still coming. They're going to charge him again, I think, this time with election interference. It will never, never, ever end. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It is The Dana Show with me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana today. And it's been a great week hanging out with you. Thank you for the privilege. Thanks to Dana and Chris for letting me hang out here all week. It's been fun. I will be starting my 3 p.m. show in Philadelphia on WPHT. 12:10 a.m. In just a little under an hour. So we'll see what news develops between now and then. But this just broke a short time ago. According to CNN, they say that Jack Smith, who's a special counsel that's charged former President Donald Trump, has secured the testimony of at least two fake electors in the case against the ex-president by offering them limited immunity. In this brand new exclusive from CNN, he's traded immunity for fake elector testimony as the January 6th probe heats up. The ultimate goal here, obviously, is to charge Trump with seditious conspiracy. And that's what they got those Proud Boy members on a little while ago. And it's an overcharge. It's a ridiculous overcharge. They were never going to overthrow the United States of America. That was just never going to happen. But they threw the book at these guys, and then they got a jury to convict. And so now there's precedent for this, and they wanted, it was strategic why they did that first. And then they're going to do that again with Trump. Mark my words, I'm telling you, it's what they want. Because ultimately what they want is they want to bar him from being able to be president under the 14th Amendment. That's their goal. That's the ultimate goal. And they're going to throw the book at everywhere they possibly can. Georgia. This time it'll be in D.C. This will be a grand jury, a federal grand jury in Washington. We'll hand down the indictment, I imagine, soon. They need to do this soon. And then they want a quick trial, find him guilty of seditious conspiracy, disqualify him from running, and hope that the Supreme Court doesn't step in and say that that's nonsense. That's their goal. That's the goal. I'm not saying he deserves it. I'm saying that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. These people will never stop. And they don't want the American people to have a say in the presidential election. They want to decide for us. And they're terrified that Trump will be the nominee. I mean, he's the front runner. But we got a long way to go. But I think if the primary were held tomorrow, he would win. But obviously, you're talking about multiple states. But I mean, he's in the lead. DeSantis is in second. Depending on the state, it's closer than others. But he's got a big lead. And they are going to make sure that he cannot serve. That's what their goal is. That's what they're trying to do. So now, as part of this, according to the story, he's compelled at least two Republican fake electors to testify to a fake elector. Let me explain what that is, by the way. So the argument from the Trump campaign was, in certain states, we had our own slate of electors prepared, should the Congress reject the results of the Electoral College and then send it back to the states. And then should the state legislatures then award the votes to Trump, they had electors ready to go. That's what happened. And this idea of fake electors, that they were going to send fake electors, you know what I mean? Like this notion of this, that they were going to, but January 6th could have gone a different way. Let's assume for a second there was never a Capitol riot that day. And they'd gone in there and they'd said, we've got evidence of election impropriety in certain states, and so we're going to reject these results and send them back to the states. And let's say that a state legislature had said, we reviewed the results and we're actually awarding the Electoral College results to Trump. And then those electors would have gone in and elected him. That was the thinking on this. They find a crime in this. And obviously on January 6th, they certify the results of the Electoral College. The idea that they were never going to was a... Let me rephrase. The idea that the rioters that day were going to change the mind of the Congress was ludicrous. I think, if anything, it sealed the fate of Congress to certify the election results. Because there were several senators who were going to go in there and they were going to say, I reject these results. But then after the riot happened, a lot of those people abandoned that and then, you know, got caught up in the moment and said, we're going forward with this. But had everything been fine on January 6th, had nobody gone near the Capitol building that day, it could have been that scenario. It could have happened under the Electoral Count Act that they had rejected the Electoral College results. And that would have been perfectly legal, would have been perfectly within Congress's right to do so. And then it would have been kicked out for a couple weeks as it went back to the states. And you might have had the inauguration delayed. Things could have happened. It would have gone to court. I mean, it would have been a whole legal, logistical, political nightmare, but it could have happened. The Electoral Count Act, as it was written at the time, it's since been reformed. But at the time, that was perfectly within Congress's right to reject. They'd done it before, not as the whole Congress, but Jamie Raskin voted to reject the Electoral College results of Donald Trump. They did it to George W. Bush in 2004. I mean, there's all kinds of audio of these Democrats standing there and saying, I move to reject the Electoral College results. And there's a famous clip of that, and Al Gore's banging the podium back in 2004 as one of them standing up there and yelling about this. Raskin, who was the impeachment leader against Trump, one of them, that guy made the motion to not accept the election results of Donald Trump because of Russia collusion. So it would have been within Congress's right if they'd had the votes to do it. I'm not saying that they would have, but I think that once the riot happened, that was over. At that point, then, that was never going to happen. So then backing away from that for a moment, the idea that the rioters themselves on January 6th were actually going to overthrow the government and convince Congress to make a vote to not certify the election results was a farce. It was never going to happen. They were never going to kill Mike Pence. And even if they did, it doesn't make Donald Trump the president. Nothing was going to go the way that the government has created in their head how it was supposed to go in the mind of the people in the building that day. I'm not talking about the grandmas using the bathroom and taking selfies. But in terms of the people that they charge with seditious conspiracy, there was no way any of those people were ever going to overthrow the government that day. No way. No chance. Even if somehow they had gotten their hands on Mike Pence, and even if they had dragged him out to that guillotine they had set up on the lawn of the Capitol and gotten away with it, which would never have happened, of course, never. But let's say in some faraway universe that they were able to do that. So what? That doesn't change anything. It doesn't change anything. And what, are they going to go in there and they were going to like force a member to raise his hand to vote no or something? It was never going to happen. The government going after this with seditious conspiracy is a ridiculous, ridiculous overcharge. Ridiculous. But it's not really about the Proud Boys. It's about Trump. Because under the 14th Amendment, if you're found guilty of that, you can't serve as president. Can't serve in elected office. So that's what their goal is. Jack Smith, who's the special counsel in this, if you think it's just about classified documents, this guy's still going. He's still going here. They say prosecutors in this sprawling criminal investigation regarding the efforts to overturn the 2020 election. What efforts were there to overturn the election? What were the efforts? See, that's what I don't understand. I mean, you can say the actions that day were not good, but this still would not have overturned the election results. At no point were the election results going to be overturned. Again, even if Congress had voted to reject the Electoral College results under the Electoral Count Act, it still doesn't guarantee Trump's president. It goes back to the states in that sense, but then the states, they may have sent the exact same electors back. So it was never going to change. The government, in their zeal to get Trump, in their obsession to get him, has created this monster, this idea that we were within minutes of an overthrow of the United States government. I mean, that's laughable. That's a farce. That's nothing like that even came close. And then the idea goes, well, then after they overthrow the Capitol, then they install fake electors who are going to vote for Trump, and then they'll certify those results and Trump will be president. It's such a laughable conspiracy theory that the government has created. You want to talk about conspiracy theories? If you ever actually break down what the government is alleging happened on that day, what the ultimate goal was, it's nuts. It's crazy. It's so crazy that you sit back and go, do you see the people that were going in the Capitol that day? You think the dude in the Chewbacca costume and the horns was really going to overthrow the government? Like, stop. Enough. But they have to create this big scenario, this big conspiracy scenario, because otherwise, how do you convict Trump on seditious conspiracy and bar him from running for president? This is what they want to do, and they're going to do it in the District of Columbia. They're going to get a federal grand jury in Washington. They'll send back an indictment. They'll charge him, and then they're going to try him in D.C. Good luck getting favorable jurors in that district. Good luck getting jurors that don't have their mind completely made up that guy tried to overthrow the country on January 6th. Good luck. Now, he says to the people that day, he says, we're going to march down the Capitol peacefully. We're going to make our voices heard and everything like this. We're going to fight like hell, blah, blah, blah. Not physically fight, he says. Government's alleging, no, he meant physically fight. And then what? Do what exactly? Fight Mike Pence like to the death and say, you better vote to overturn this or I'm going to keep punching you? I mean, none of it makes sense as you break it down. None of it. The United States government has created the ultimate conspiracy in all of the country's minds. And the media goes along with it, of course, because they love it. Every day is January 6th to them. Every day. But you always hear these stories on the internet. People come up with conspiracy theories on things, and the media is always very quick to bash them on that. Like somebody will say, oh, you know, this idea that the Biden administration withheld the fact that the Navy knew the Titan sub imploded days ago to just distract everybody from the Hunter Biden whistleblower story. That's a crazy conspiracy theory. Maybe. But you know what's a really crazy conspiracy theory? The idea that the government of the United States of America was going to be overthrown on January 6th of 2021. And that they were so close, they almost did it and installed Trump as president somehow. It's nuts. It's laughable. If it were a movie plot, you'd throw it out and go, this is insane. This could never happen. Logically, this doesn't work. But the longer you say that, the longer you hold it out there to convince a jury of that, which is what their goal is, then the chances go up that you can find him guilty of seditious conspiracy like you did to those Proud Boy members in a just absolute gross overcharge and then bar him from being president. That's their goal. And it's shameful. It's absolutely shameful. And I hope to God that a court steps in at some point and knocks this off, because this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There was a time in this country when civil libertarians on both sides of the aisle would say the government overcharging people has to stop. It has to stop. But in this case, those same civil libertarians on the left are rooting for this. Rooting for the charge of seditious conspiracy. It's a damn shame. All right, it's Friday afternoon here on The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. Feel free to tweet me on Twitter at Rich Zeoli, RichZeoli. We're coming right back.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
It is indeed the Dana Show. A lot going on today. Busy, busy day. I'll tell you, though, Bud Light is hoping that you will forget all about Dylan Mulvaney, which brings me to five things I got to tell you about.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
After the furor, Anheuser-Busch hopes the next Bud Light commercial goes down smooth. They are ready to roll out a new ad. It's going to be an easy summer kind of ad. They say we want to show up all relevant summer occasions, backyard barbecues, stadiums, and sports venues. That's what counts, and that's what we're focused on. They're going to show many summer activities that present an appropriate moment for the beer, one of the best-known beverages in the United States. Wow, they play the song Good Times, the sunny 1978 hit by the dance music group Cheek. Cheek? Chick? Anyway, good luck to them. I don't know if they're going to be able to wash away the stain of the Dylan Mulvaney fiasco, but they're going to spend a ton of cash trying to get this ad out there, along with giveaways and celebrities, athletes like Travis Kelce, Dak Prescott, and others are going to star in ads ahead of the Football League's 2023 to 2024 season. So basically, Anheuser-Busch is saying, we're going to go back to our roots, you know, people that actually drink beer, and we're going to stay the hell out of politics. Probably a smart move. Firefighters rescue a horse from a Florida swimming pool. I guess it would be a Florida horse segment of the show. Firefighters came to the rescue after a horse fell into a swimming pool in Florida. A team from Pasco County used a harness to lift the animal out of the water. Pasco County Fire Rescue said the horse was in good condition after being saved. Guy just wanted to cool down. Come on, it's hot. What are you going to do? A man robbed a woman at gunpoint, then asked her on a date. I mean, if this is not true love, I don't know what is. It was in Indianapolis. A woman in Indianapolis said she'd been the victim of a very unusual robbery. She worked a late shift. A woman came home to a gunman who approached her, stole cash from her, and forced her to send him a friend request on Facebook. Later, he tried to ask her out on a date. Court records say that this charmer, Damian Boyce, pointed out his Facebook profile of the victim and watched her add him, saying he would pay the money he stole back to her before leaving the scene on a bike. No idea when the wedding date is set for. Qatar is looking to buy a minority stake in the Wizards, the Capital, and the Mystics. With all the blowback from the LIV Golf thing, the Qatar Investment Authority is seeking to buy a minority stake in the group that owns the NBA Washington Wizards, Washington Capitals, and the Washington Mystics. The state-owned fund is seeking to acquire a 5% stake in the deal. Jennifer Lawrence, who's an actress, says she gets nervous by actors who are method actors. She prefers Christian Bale's technique of getting ready 10 seconds to action. I only bring this up to remind you that Christian Bale was the best movie Batman ever. And speaking of Batman, Warner Brothers Discovery is negotiating a $500 million deal to sell the film and TV music publishing assets. Is this the end of one of the most powerful movie studios in history? Warner Brothers? Could be. They're negotiating to sell around half of the storied Warner Studios film and TV music publishing assets for approximately $500 million. Doesn't seem like a lot to me. I guess it's a real sign of just how bad things have gotten for the movie and TV business. Don't forget, they own Batman. Warner Brothers does. All right, a lot more to talk about here on The Dana Show. We got some breaking news. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana, coming right back.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
Yes, indeed. A big day today. Attorney General Merrick Garland speaking out on the sweetheart deal for Hunter Biden. Governor Ron DeSantis had a lot to say as he's running for president of the United States. So has former President Donald Trump. It's a busy afternoon here on The Dana Show. Thanks for hanging with me, Rich Zeoli. I will be starting my 3 p.m. show in Philadelphia shortly on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, one of Dana's many lovable affiliates. Why don't we begin with former President Donald Trump, who, you know, this battle of between him and DeSantis over COVID handling. Ron DeSantis did not have a vaccine mandate in Florida, despite what the former president said. Cut 15.
Yeah, DeSantis was, he was big in the vaccines. You remember the lines that were lined up to get the vaccine, and I guess he sort of mandated it.
Well, there's no mandate, but yeah, he was actually somebody who was helpful in getting it out to people. But since then, he's also turned around and had his Surgeon General come out and look into vaccine harm and vaccine damage. So the handling of COVID-19, though, is going to still be a big issue between those two guys going forward, no doubt about it. And even Robert F. Kennedy Jr. put out an ad today where he said that Donald Trump should have stood up to the bureaucrats, his own bureaucrats in government, and that's what a president needs to do. Governor Ron DeSantis spoke, and I know, Steve, you said you had those cuts, so we'll take a listen.
For far too long, we've had a lot of Republicans that get into office, and they're almost like potted plants. They don't want to lead. They don't want to put, they want to follow polls, have their finger in the wind. They do not want to take on fights that are going to lead to the media attacking them or the left attacking them. And so what they end up doing is, yeah, you know, they'll do a tax cut here, something there, but they tend to defer to the media, they defer to corporations. And what that means in this day and age is that the left will win.
You got to have fights. You do. He's right. And you can't just talk about taxes and the economy like a lot of the country club Republican types. You have to get out there and you got to fight. And you got to fight on these culture issues, too. You got to fight on them because the left right now, think about it, is trying to say that it's OK for little kids to get gender affirming care, which is surgery, mutilation and these very dangerous drugs. Yesterday in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania House Freedom Caucus, they blocked funding for Penn State Hospital over the fact that they give puberty blockers to kids as young as 5 years old. So they were successful in blocking that. You got to take on these fights because the left is insane. They're insane. They're trying to do things that normal people just do not think is okay. You know, you think about the culture battles of the past, the battles now involving children getting surgery, chopping body parts off. I mean, come on. Like, this is lunacy is what it is. Former President Barack Obama came out taking shots at right-wing radio and Fox News. I don't know if this is really true. Do you get afraid? Do I make you afraid? Does Dana make you afraid? Cut nine.
So the polarizations that we've seen in our national politics is not identical to what's happening on the ground. But what is true is that partly because of where people are getting information these days, the siloing of information. If you are watching Fox News, I've said this before, if you're watching Fox News or following some right-wing radio host or getting Facebook feeds within that bubble, your reality is different than if you read the New York Times or watch your program.
Yeah, because it's state-run media, those other outlets. If you watch MSNBC, you're brainwashed every night thinking that today's the day Trump's going to go to prison. You did that for 4 years when he was president. That American democracy is a peril, that any minute now there's going to be an uprising by domestic violent extremists, white people. That's the kind of brainwashing you get. Let's face it. This idea that the New York Times is this pious, independent journalism. ABC News, my favorite is, I call him the unbiased journalist, George Stephanopoulos, who is the co-anchor on Good Morning America and the chief political guy, the guy who moderates the show on ABC News Sunday mornings. That guy was Bill Clinton's communications director, who fought for Clinton all those years, helped go after the bimbo eruptions. Give me a break, please. Like, the media is some impartial thing, and it's only conservative news that has an opinion. They just don't like it because we actually don't give the corporate media talking points, and that's why they've always wanted to shut us down. Because we don't give the corporate media talking points. For example, I've been out there saying the virus came from a lab since March of 2020, back when Facebook was calling that a conspiracy and the corporate media was calling that a conspiracy. Because let's face it, the corporate media is all owned by corporations. That's why I call it the corporate media. I don't like the term mainstream media. I don't like that. I don't even like the term legacy media. I think it's the corporate media. Let me give you an example. So ABC News is owned by Disney. The parent company of Disney is China. Well, I mean, maybe not officially, but you know what I mean. ABC News was never going to come out and actually report that the virus came from a lab. They've got a lot of properties in China. They show a lot of their movies and TV shows on Chinese screens. NBC News is owned by Comcast, Xfinity. They also have a very big movie and TV division with a lot of streaming devices in China and that area watching their stuff. Plus, they also own other things too. CBS. Yes, CBS, the crown jewel, right? CBS News, where Margaret Brennan had the ambassador to the United States from China on in February of 2020, where he said it's very racist to suggest the virus came from a lab. CBS, Paramount, Viacom, again, movies, TV shows. It's a lot of money at stake here. Corporations own media companies, news companies, and those news companies do the bidding of their corporate masters. I was watching our local ABC News today. They were reporting, of course, on the opening of 95. And at one point, they stopped the news to go into a fluff piece about what streaming shows to watch now. And as you can imagine, all the streaming shows they recommended – are on Disney, the parent company. So give me a break. Here's Obama whining about what we need in terms of the Justice Department. Cut 10.
As President of the United States, you are just one representative of the people in a series of co-equal branches. There are checks and balances to the system. You are subject to those checks and balances. You cannot ignore them. You cannot make your own rules. You cannot view the Justice Department as your personal law firm.
Well, can you use it as an arm of the Democrat National Committee, though? Because that's certainly what the current president's doing in the White House. No question about that. Certainly what the Attorney General's doing. He's doing the bidding of the Democrats by going after the president's chief political opponent, Donald Trump, and also covering for his friends, people like Hunter Biden, for example. So is it okay to use the Justice Department like that? Again, I'm asking for a friend there, Mr. President. Speaking of the Justice Department, we have some more audio of Merrick Garland from today. Take a listen.
Attorney General, Republicans in Congress have flirted with the idea of holding the FBI director in contempt. It's become a talking point on the campaign trail, the alleged corruption in the FBI and other federal law enforcement agencies. Do the American people have cause to be concerned about the integrity of the components of this Justice Department? And what do you have to say about how they're acting?
I certainly understand that some have chosen to attack the integrity of the Justice Department and its components and its employees by claiming that we do not treat like cases alike. This constitutes an attack on an institution that is essential to American democracy.
Essential to American democracy. Yes, indeed. Giving sweetheart deals to the son of the president of the United States to cover for the president of the United States. But let's not use it as a personal law firm. Okay? Very good. Let's see what else we have here. Here is Adam Schiff. Shifty, who was, in fact, censured by the House of Representatives. Good, he deserves it. This lying con man for years was out there telling people, we've seen the evidence of Russia collusion. I've seen the evidence. The evidence is there. Over and over and over again for years. Censure is the least of what Adam Schiff deserves, and there needs to be an investigation. This guy used his perch as the chairman of and the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee to pretend like he'd seen evidence that you lowly people can never see in your life. Cut 12.
More than that, I think we need term limits for justices, and I favor expanding the Supreme Court. I'm one of the lead authors of the bill in the House to do that, along with Hank Johnson, and I'll tell you why. And that is Mitch McConnell, Donald Trump stacked the court. They didn't have to enlarge it, but they stacked it by withholding an appointment from Barack Obama. And then jamming one down the country in direct and hypocritical contradiction in the latter days of Donald Trump.
Stack the deck of the Supreme Court. I told you that yesterday. What the Democrats want to do is create the Supreme Court as a mini legislature to get through all the nutty ideas they can't get passed through Congress. That's their goal. It's what they want to do. And they're going to try. Absolutely. They're going to try to do that. The other thing they want to do, obviously, is they want to expand the United States Senate, get two senators from the District of Columbia by making D.C. a state, and ultimately Puerto Rico as well. And then get rid of the filibuster, run the table, have the Supreme Court, and just completely dominate the country. That is their goal. They're redefining the House districts to make it more amicable to Democrats, and there'll be a permanent majority party in the country, as well as they keep letting people into the southern border who they'll turn into Democrat voters at some point. That is the ultimate goal. The current president of the United States had the Indian Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, and he actually changed his title. Cut number 7.
Well, Mr. President, Mr. Prime Minister, just the Modi, Mr. Prime Minister, thank you for being here. Welcome back to the White House.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And Biden also, if you're ever wondering if he gets the questions in advance or knows the answers in advance or has that little thing in his ear where he might know what the questions and the answers are, well, we'll let this put your mind at ease. Cut 5.
Told our two questioners, Sabrina from the Wall Street Journal and Kumar from the Trust of India. And Sabrina, you first.
Until there are two questioners, I have their answers right here. So, Sabrina, let's start with you, since the answers to your question are sitting right here in front of me. Biden also said the most serious problem we face as human beings in the world, as you can imagine, cut four.
First of all, I think it is the existential threat to humanity, climate change. It's the most serious problem we face as human beings.
The most serious problem we face as human beings. So in that sense, then, we got to do something about China, right? Right, Mr. President, since China is the world's biggest polluter? Of course not. Let's do something about Africa, shall we? Cut number three.
Example, we're working with the G7 to provide for infrastructure work for dealing with global warming in the continent of Africa. In Angola, building the largest solar project.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Nothing about China, though, right? That's why would we bring them up? I mean, forget it. They use dirty coal and, you know, stop it. And we don't want Africa and nations on the continent of Africa to be able to have the standards of the West by being able to, you know, do things like refrigerate their food, have modern day medicine, hospitals, nuclear medicine, things like that, because of climate change. So developing nations around the world, sorry, you don't get to play because of climate change. Got it? Tell that to your kids. Tell that to your kids who are looking for some nice, cold, refreshing food. Nope. Sorry. You don't get to play. No electricity for you. No nuclear medicine for you. No nuclear power for you. You stay in the dark. Africa, Asia, developing nations around the world. It is the ultimate height of arrogance from the Democrat Party and the climate change kooks. This is The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, wrapping things up. Don't go away.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Yes, it's been a great week. I've had so much fun hanging out. Thank you for listening to The Dana Show all week. I hope she has a wonderful vacation. And I will be going on the air in Philadelphia at 3 o'clock. So just a few minutes from now, if you are in the neighborhood, or you can stream online in Odyssey, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. You can follow me on Twitter at Rich Zeoli, RichZeoli, if you would like to weigh in on everything we are discussing. Today, James Rosen, who's a fantastic journalist, he really is, he's one of the best. James Rosen tried to get a question into John Kirby. He tried to ask Admiral John Kirby about the reaction to everything with regarding the whistleblowers. He said, James Rosen asked John Kirby about the text message Hunter Biden sent to his Chinese business partner demanding a payment while invoking that his father was in the room with him. Kirby refused to answer, and he left the podium. For Karine Jean-Pierre, the microphone then mysteriously has technical difficulties when she begins. My buddy Greg Price on Twitter putting that out there. So there you go. And in Philadelphia, I told you earlier that I-95 is officially reopened. But the coolest part about the story, in addition to the incredible work by the construction guys and gals who just worked to get this open, is that they had a Philadelphia fire truck with all the Philly mascots on the top of it going by and cheering everybody on. It's a rainy, cloudy day in Philly right now, but it was fantastic to see that. So they had all the Philly mascots, all of them, Swoop, the Fanatic, Gritty, they were all up there hanging out on top of the fire truck with an escort by the Philadelphia Police Department. So yeah, 95 is it's open. I mean, it's amazing how they were able to do that so quickly. It really is. It's just a remarkable feat. Reporter asked today at the White House press briefing, have you asked the president whether he was there with his son on July 30th, 2017, when he sends a text to his Chinese business partner? Karine Jean-Pierre said, this is not a conversation that I've had with the president. Reporter asked, do you plan to have that conversation? Her answer, no. Nope, no interest. She does not plan to have that conversation. And she said, as it relates to Hunter Biden, I am just not going to respond to it from here. James Rosen from Newsmax read the entire text that was sent by Hunter Biden to the Chinese businessman, and nobody at the White House would comment on that. Not a single thing. Even though Biden's Department of Justice just gave Hunter Biden this sweetheart deal to protect, obviously, Joe Biden. They won't answer it. They refuse to comment. They refuse to comment on the whistleblower testimony as well. The whistleblower testimony that came out that said that you had multiple people at the IRS suggesting that they need to throw the book at Hunter Biden. Serious felonies, serious charges here. And they don't want to talk about that either. They got nothing. They got nothing. So it really truly is amazing, is it not? All right, Steve, I've played a lot of stupid things today. Give me something stupid.
So we have an inside joke on the Dana Show. I'm not sure if Rich is aware of it, but Kamala Harris has a phrase that she repeats all the time, and I'm not going to repeat it. I'll just play it. But today she was talking about her mom about something, and she said it again, and I wish Dana was here to hear this, but we'll hear it when she gets back, and here it is.
She understood what was possible, unburdened by what has been.
It's like bingo.
She really does use that phrase a lot. I mean, that is the thing, unburdened by what has been. Well, I'm unburdened now of my fill-in duties for Dana. It's been a lot of fun. So thank you, Steve. Thank you for all your help this week. Thanks to Kane. Thanks to everybody else who's helped make the show a success. Have a wonderful weekend. Like I said, I'm on Twitter, @RichZioli. Thank you so much for listening. Best of luck.